While we're standing, let's maybe turn with those behind us. Let's just take hands in small groups and let's pray together. You may have want to express your praise to the Lord this morning. Here's an opportunity for everybody in church who wants to say thank you to the Lord Jesus, to express praise to Him. And one of the reasons David the psalmist was such an incredible praiser was that he was a man who was always remembering what God had done. So why don't you rehearse what God has done for you this week? And express it in praise and prayer now with your friends in the church. Let's all pray in our groups together.
We're going to read some scripture together. And I invite you to stay standing as we read scripture. We're going to praise the Lord together. We're going to praise the image of Christ. We're going to praise Christ together. And after we sing this, we're going to turn to hymn 250, Oh, for a Thousand Tongues, that God would give us a voice to praise our Lord in all the earth, that all people might know He is Amen. Lord. I will read the light print, and you follow and respond with the bold print. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation.
For in Him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible.
Whether thrones or dominions or principalities or authorities, all things were created through Him and for Him.
He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything He might be preeminent.
For in Him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of His cross. O Lord, give us a voice to praise You. Give us tongues to sing Your praise. Let us sing praise to Him in hymn number 250, O 4,000 Tongues to Sing.
O 4,000 tongues to sing, my great
Jesus, Master and my God, assist me to proclaim, to spread through all the earth of God the honors of thy name. Jesus, the name that charms our fears, that bids our sorrows cease, his music in the sinner's ears, his life and help and peace. He breaks the power of canceled sin, he sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean, his blood availed for me.
Last verse.
Hear him, ye dead, his praise ye dumb, your loosened tongues employ. Ye blind, behold your Savior come, and keep ye lame for sure.
Lord, make us an instrument. An instrument of worship.
Lord, make me an instrument of worship. I lift up my hands.
That scripture that Kenny read is a very powerful and strong exhortation. It draws our attention to the need to be right with God today and to be right with each other today, and a warning that even those who have tasted of the good things of God can grow cold and hard in their heart. If there's another word of prophetic exhortation or edification or comfort that the Lord has laid on your heart, I encourage you to bring it forth. part and parcel of the same thing. First of all, the gentleness of God and the grace of God was exalted, and there was also an exhortation to respond with gentleness to the circumstances of life and to God, that the fruit of His character, gentleness, be in us. There's a real word of encouragement for some here this morning. There are many issues in your life right now that are tempting you to strive in the flesh. There is every reason why in the natural you should have to do something to make something happen, to correct a situation, to make good a situation, or to do something for yourself. And the word of the Lord is a word of instruction and it's a word of warning. His dealings with you have been gentle and have been gracious. And He wants to clothe you with grace and with gentleness. Therefore, anoint your face with oil and set forth the gentleness and grace of the living God. You will be found faithful in your circumstances, but not because you have ordered your house, but because Jesus, who is the Son, who is faithful over all the Father's house, will order your circumstances for you. Father, I want to thank You this morning for the faithfulness of Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank You for that scripture reading that tells us that He was faithful as a son, and He's invited us to be brothers. And I thank You, Jesus, that You've modeled a way for us to fulfill our heart's desire, which is to be faithful to God the Father. And we therefore willingly and joyfully submit ourselves to You this morning. And though, Lord, circumstances cry out, or even if the body aches or the mind is tired, we do not want the stones to shout ahead of us. We say, great are You, O God, and great are Your ways. Kind, gracious, and gentle are You in Your dealings with us. Yes, You look after us as a father looks after a son and after a daughter. And though, Lord, there are many situations that spit us out, though there is a world that is hostile to us, we want You to know this morning there's nowhere we'd rather be than in the Father's house. Thank You for bringing us into Your dwelling place, Lord Jesus. Thank You for giving us of Your rest and of Your peace. In Jesus Christ's holy name, amen and amen. Amen. You may be seated. In the context of our worship, we're going to do something important this morning. And I want to ask Chris and Jack Stout to come forward. Chris and Jack, if you'd step forward right now. Larry and Paul, will you join me? William, I'd like you to come and join me, please. Hap, it's great to see you back from the fort. And Hap, I wonder if you'd join us, just representing the home group that that Jack and Chris belong to. One of the pains of our life that we've often celebrated is that the Lord brings folk among us, and just as we're getting to like them, they seem to sometimes have to go away somewhere else. And that has certainly happened with Jack and Chris Stout. Jack and Chris have both been used by the Lord in my life and in the life of this church in the short time they've been here. As you know, Jack works at Central Union Mission. Guys, maybe you could come around here so people back there don't, they can see there. Okay. And Chris, of course, has shared with us her great vision for gleaning. It's impossible not to look at anything now in this world and know that it can be gleaned for the kingdom of God. And yet, with so much happening in their lives here in D.C., they are going, leaving this area. You know, if we organize things, we'd never organize it this way, let me tell you. And they are going to the West Coast, obviously for their sins, and they're going to be part of a Youth for the Mission training program, which especially focuses on outreach amongst Native American Indians, which is a vision and a burden that Jack has carried for much of his life. Now, they don't know how this is going to work out. And the fact of the matter is, this longing for this particular mission doesn't seem to relate to a lot of other things that are happening in their life. Certainly doesn't relate to the fact that I'd like them to stay around here, because I covet the gifts of God that are in them. And God knows we need the Jacks and the Chrises of this world in Christ our Shepherd Church. But they're walking in obedience, and we believe it is really strategic, a very precious time for these two as husband and wife.
at this season in their life. And I'm sure they wouldn't mind me saying, they've shared it openly, and I'm sure they won't mind me saying publicly, they've both been used by the Lord in a wide range of areas. And sometimes their paths haven't crossed in areas of ministry. And there's a real sense that the Lord is doing something strategic here, just taking them out of the hustle and the bustle, just for a few months to be alone with the Lord and alone with each other. And I believe what's going to come out of it is going to be powerful in ministry in the kingdom of God. That there's going to be an increased experience of oneness in ministry that's not just going to put 1,000 to flight, it's going to put 10,000 to flight. And therefore, as I pray for them and as these dear ones pray for them, we're going to pray that the fruit of this departure, which is a loss to us, is going to be a gain to the kingdom of God. There's going to be some exponential increase here for Jesus' sake. Isn't it great to feel safe enough to give away what you need most? So we're going to pray. I'm going to ask William Carter to pray, representing the brothers at Central Union Mission. Jack has been so used of the Lord, I probably would never have got maybe to know William and Kenny and some of these brothers without the ministry of Jack and Rick Wolfer and Nancy Merritt. So, William, will you pray for Jack and Chris on behalf of your brothers and standing for those whose lives have been touched and blessed by Jesus and these dear ones?
Yes. Our Heavenly Father, I hope you take care of Jack and Chris in their travels and safety. And at least let us hear from them often that they are doing well.
Yes.
And I thank you, Heavenly Father, for letting me even get a chance to know these two beautiful people.
Yes.
And their help for the guys at the mission and how it would help the mission if they could stay. But we understand that you must carry them on. So I want to thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Paul, I want to ask you, just representing the house group, to pray for them.
Dear Father, we just come before you in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
We thank you, Father, for the wonderful work of grace, Father, which you continue to do, Father, in the lives of each one of us. And in particular this morning, Father, we thank you for Chris and for Jack. And Father, as you just leave us, we just thank you, Father, for their life and the way they've taught us, Father, how to meet the needs of those, Father, that are maybe not as fortunate as us. We just thank you, Father, for their life. And we pray, Father, as they leave this congregation, Father, that you will just use them. Maybe it'll be a time of refreshing, Father, for them, and a time of rest as they go on, Father, through YWAM. We pray just now, Lord, it'll just cover them, Father, with your Holy Spirit, that you'll energize their lives, Father, to do a work for you. We thank you, Father, for their lessons, Father, to us, Father, in servanthood.
Yeah.
And we just pray, Father, Lord, as they leave, Father, that their mark will stay here, Father, with us.
Yeah.
That too, Father, we'll continue to do a work, Father, that they have done, Lord.
Yeah.
Father, we just pray, Father, just increase their lives, Father, as they leave.
Yes, Jesus.
We thank you for them, Father.
Yes.
Bless them, we pray, Father. Be everything them to, Father, that you want, Father. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let me just pause for a minute. Many of you have had a chance to get to know them. If there's a specific word of Scripture, don't want a whole chapter here, just a specific word of Scripture or a specific word of exhortation that's on your heart for them, a word of encouragement, let's just wait on the Lord and receive it. Amen. 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 Amen.
Thank you. Yes. Yes. Amen. 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 Lord, I thank you that if there's one characteristic we've seen of yourself in these two, it's been that of compassion and durable, stickable, consistent, enduring faithfulness at the place of work in your kingdom. And I pray that these two souls will be succored by further supply of divine compassion and divine faithfulness. You know, we're going to do something now that we have done once before in Christ Our Shepherd Church, so there is a precedent. Jack and Chris have been with us for quite a while, but we've never really, you know, publicly just welcomed them into the body. They've always been here, there, or everywhere. Some of you remember that Kathy Kemp, the Sunday we welcomed her into the church was the same Sunday we sent her out to Holland. Now, we need that every now and again just to let people know that you may not be here as long as you think. It's an extremely good example from time to time. And so I just want to say very specifically, Jack, my brother, Chris, my sister, and we've talked some. And some of you remember the things that Chris shared when she was with us a few weeks back, that she went through a period in her life and she didn't really see much point in many aspects of church life. And, you know, there are other ways to do things. And I am so thankful that you've had a chance just to be in town long enough to bless us with your friendship and to reinforce security in our lives through the gifts of Christ as expressed in the body. And Jack and Chris, better late than never, guys. I want you to know before you go what you knew from the first day, that you and Jesus in you have always been welcome, are welcome, are treasured. It's not just human personality we deal with here, it's Jesus in you, which has been so precious. And therefore, the two of you, it gives me great joy to anoint you with oil. You're going to Youth with a Mission. You're leaving Gleaners for now. You're leaving the mission. Many of us have been praying for you, seeking God's solace. And I said to you last Sunday, Jack, that when we felt such release in you guys going, I'll be honest with you publicly, we've thought some thoughts about you two. I've said to the Lord many times in prayer, wow, isn't it going to be great? They're going to be around. I can see them doing this, doing that, getting involved. But just the last few days praying for you, I don't know whether you're ever coming back, but I'll tell you something. The Lord has given me a real freedom to pray that that might be possible. And that's not a deterministic word, but it's just telling you that I have felt free, that I'm not interfering with anything in your life to keep saying to the Lord, and why not bring them back again, Lord, to maybe finish some things that you've started before maybe taking them on somewhere else. And wherever you are, the body of Christ needs you. Jack and Chris, let's bow our heads, saints. We pray for you this morning as those who love you, who are brothers and sisters, whose lives have been enriched by Jesus in you. We are sad at your going, but we are extremely thrilled at this convicting sense that each of you have of the Lord going before. And we anoint you with oil, and we set you apart as holy unto the Lord. We send you out, not in our own name, not in our own strength, but in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is mighty. In the name of the Lord Jesus, who has gone before. In the name of the Lord Jesus, who has prepared works of service for you. In the name of the Lord Jesus, who is already sitting at a table waiting to sup with you when you arrive and reveal things of himself that you have not known before. It's going to be a time of precious disclosure. It's going to be a time of precious unity and healing in your own life and in your own marriage. It's going to be a time of information, holy information. It's going to be a time of vision. It's going to be a time of receiving things that you're not going to be able to run with for quite a while. And I pray for you with all the saints here that the Lord continues to garrison your heart and mind, that he provides every need that you have, physical and spiritual and emotional,
and that he will encourage you to know that everything you've entrusted in his hands here is going to be all right because it's in his hands. That every one of those Gleaners action teams is going to be all right because it's in Jesus' hands. That every one of those men, Jack, who God has privileged you to influence with Jesus, some of whom you don't even know where they are today, out on the street, that God is the God of heaven and his eye is upon them. And he shares your burden, but they're going to be all right. And we trust you into the hands of the living God. And I dare to pray as a son of the Father who happens to share the house, same house with you, that dear Lord Jesus, if it be your will, would you please bless us by bringing Jack and Chris back to us, Lord. We have need of them, but we seek your needs for them more than our needs for them. And if in the fulfilling of the heart of God there should be time for us, then will you please speak that word to them and to us, that just as they know you've prepared a place out in Seattle for them and a place in heaven, will you help us, Lord, if it's your will, to prepare a place for them in Washington, D.C., if their steps are led back here. In Jesus' holy, precious name, amen. Is there anything you want to share or say to the body?
I'd like to say that no matter where the Lord leads us, that this church family has become my home. And wherever the Lord leads me, that it'll always just be for a season, and I will always feel like this is where home is.
All I can say is ditto that. It's the first church that I have fallen in love with. And I, like Stuart mentioned, I had stood up here the last time and said, I am afraid to know you. And I can say now that I do know you and I love you. Mm-hmm. And we're going to honestly miss you. And we feel, come back.
Amen. Amen. I'll tell you what we're going to do now. While you're seated, just while we're standing here, I'm going to ask the ushers to get ready to receive our offering as part of our worship. And I want to warn you of something we're going to do, that we're going to take the offering, but at the end of the service, I just want to take a special retiring offering for Jack and for Chris. They're trusting the Lord for the meeting of their needs. We're seeking the Lord as to the nature of our response to them. And I want to give those of you who love them and know them an opportunity to give at the end of the service, and there'll be an opportunity to do that as you go out. Let me invite the ushers forward, and as the offering is taken, we're going to sing a song. The worship team are going to lead it. We're going to sing it to you. This is a song for you this morning about the Spirit anointing and appointing you and reminding you that you're going to stand. And if we don't see you before, we'll see you then when we stand together. The Lord bless you and keep you. Thank you, guys.
Let's sing this sitting down.
We shall stand with our feet on the rock. Whatever men may say, we lift your name up high. We shall walk through the darkest night, setting our faces like flint. We're walking to the light. For you have chosen me for fruitfulness, to be transformed into your likeness. I'm gonna fight on through till I see you face to face. We shall stand on the rock. Whatever men may say, we'll lift your name on high. We shall walk through the darkest night, setting our faces like flint. We're walking to the light.
Let's stand for this last verse.
The Lord is your witness, and
Lord is your witness,
and you've appointed us. And with your Holy Spirit, anointed us. And so I'll fight on through till I see you face to face.
we shall stand with our feet on the rock. For whatever men may say, we'll lift your name on high. We shall walk through the darkest night, setting our faces like flint. We'll walk into the light. We shall stand.
Lord, as we now gather around your word to talk about that same desire of yours to send us into the world which you created, I pray that we will know that same sense of quickening and appointment that Jack and Chris know in their hearts at this season of their life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Take your Bibles, turn to the New Testament, to the book of Colossians, the book of Colossians, the 4th chapter and verse 2. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2. Book of Colossians, 4th chapter, verse 2. Paul, cleaning up at the end of a very important epistle, writes to the Colossians and says, "Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us, too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." I want to talk to you this morning about sex. Now that I have your attention, the reason I said that was not to be trivializing, but probably second only to sexual issues, the subject of witnessing seems to bring most condemnation to believers. In Christ Our Shepherd Church, we're engaged in our home groups and really encouraging one another at the moment in the knowledge of the truth of the gospel, not only seeking the word, not only knowing what to say, but expecting the Lord to help us how to say it. It was St. Augustine who said there are two important things. One, find out what you need to know, and secondly, find out a way to express what you've just learned. And some of us are a lot better at finding out what we need to know than discovering a way to express what we have got to know. That's what learning is all about. The proof of learning, as you know, is the ability to express in your own terms what it is that you've just learned. And that's different for all of us. That's why we need everybody in the church expressing and talking Jesus, that this message be presented clearly to the world. And I'm going to break out of my series on the parables of Jesus this morning for a few minutes to give a pep talk, because we were going to meet last Thursday, but because of the Young Life Banquet, we deferred the session when I was going to address you Thursday night. So I want to do that this morning, to just throw in a little more cartilage between the bones of your home group meetings when you're preparing your hearts to serve the Lord and to make Him known. It's interesting, that passage, and I'll refer to it just at the end of what I want to share with you this morning, is Paul, the urgency of Paul after all his instruction to the church. One of Paul's great desires that comes through his epistles is, please pray for me that I be an effective proclaimer. And he always comes around the back of that and says, just like you too need to know God can use you in the place of witness. It may not be in the public square, but it certainly will be in the context of one-on-one relationship. And as you know jolly well, very, very few people, in fact, come to Christ through what the world regards as the professionals. The smallest percentage come to Christ that way. The majority of people learn about Jesus and commit their lives to Jesus in the context of praying with a family member or being witnessed to by a personal friend. And what I want to do this morning is just give an overview of a few things, some by way of reminder and some by way of encouragement. What the army calls a love kick in the butt. Now, that's not the language of Zion, but it's good spiritual warfare talk. You're about to begin this month a series in the home groups of how to of show and tell, we've called it. And you're going to be having fun over the next 2 weeks in getting into John's Gospel chapter 3 and John's Gospel chapter 4. And there are a lot of practical assignments to encourage you not only to be somebody who can prepare a message, but use a newspaper headline or whatever God has done in you to set forth how great Jesus really is. To bring what the Holy Spirit always loves to do, the spotlight on Jesus. It's amazing how bad we are at doing that. You know, we often get ourselves in all kinds of tangles in our conversation and get so frustrated we end up a million miles from Jesus. So the focus this month is how we can help each other talk and say good things about Jesus. Let me just backtrack. Way back at the beginning, I did an introduction which said that despite our knowledge of the message, or despite every method that every Tom, Dick, and Harry wants to cook up under the sun, there's a fundamental issue that has to do with our motivation. And now I'm going to embarrass you. Because I gave you a reason to bother for every day of the week, and I gave you an eighth one for the day of the week that you're always saying you wish you had. Eight reasons why we should bother to tell people about Jesus. And I want you just to turn to the person next to you, behind you, and I want to see how many of those you can dig out. Or you might not remember what I said, but give the person next to you some reasons why you should bother to tell people about Jesus. Off you go. I'll give you 2 minutes or 2 hours, depending on how well you seem to be doing. All righty, off you go. Why should you bother? Those who have their notes with them, no cheating. You Pharisee, the Lord rebuke you. Seriously, saints, if you aren't moved upon by the Holy Spirit at the convicting level of why you should bother, there isn't a worksheet in the world that is going to do anything for you. Well, the voices have died down pretty quickly that suggest one of two things. One, I haven't a clue, or two, I know it so well I just went through it by rote, just like that. Several of the reasons we gave are, and it doesn't matter what order, but we said, number one, the whole purpose of the world, as presented in Scripture, tells us that we should bother. The purpose of all things is to acknowledge Jesus as Lord. The very character of God, as we know Him, encourages us to bother, who longs that all men repent. The seriousness of life as presented by Scripture. The fact that we are going to give an account for our lives to the one who gave us life. The fact that we are not owners, we are stewards. The fact that we are called to flee from wrath to come. The fact that the gospel, the very nature of the gospel, causes us to bother. Because if you say that you know Jesus and that gospel is working in you, then one of the very works of that gospel in changing you is to give you the incentive to talk about it and tell others. And sometimes the paucity and lack of our witness is the first barometer we should look at in terms of our own fresh experience of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit coursing through us. The very purpose of man as presented by Scripture gives us a reason to bother. The command of Christ, lest we forget all else, is a reason to bother. But at the heart of it all and the foundation of it all, the work of Jesus Christ on the cross for us is the reason to bother. There's God's reason to bother. And if we're still not convinced, and the Bible makes it quite clear, the fact of the matter is, there is a necessity for communication, for unless we speak, how will they work out what it is? Okay, here's a definition of evangelism. I'm going to have to move it. God's always like an intelligence test doing this. You panic. Which way do I go? Okay, I want you to read this. Well, let me read it out loud and follow. To evangelize is so to present Christ Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit that men shall come to put their trust in God through Him, to accept Him as their Savior and serve Him as their King in the fellowship of the church. You didn't know good things could come out of an archbishop's committee, did you? That came out of a very famous archbishop's committee in 1918. Well, forget about that. Don't that mislead you? Just because the bishop said it, you know. Okay, now just read that again to yourself. And we're going to do just like we sometimes do in home group. We're going to take a couple of minutes out. And I want you to think about that. And I want you to talk amongst yourselves. I want you to say, well, what's good about that? Is that a good definition? What in there do you like? Is there anything in there that you don't like? Are you happy with that as a definition of what it is to evangelize? Are there some things that you'd add? Are there some things that you'd leave out? Now, there's no trick questions here. Don't say, he's got a trick up his sleeve. I know it. I know it. Hold on. Okay, take a couple of minutes. Tell them what you like, what you don't like, how you'd improve it, how you'd add, how you'd take away. There's some good things in there, yeah? Very good things. The power of the Holy Spirit, yeah, pretty important ingredient there. We're acknowledging the work of the Holy Spirit. Not by fine evangelistic crusade organization, not by the offering that's taken at the close of the service, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Okay, Carolyn. Yeah, it's going somewhere. It's not about feeling good, bettering your circumstances, getting a real handle on the self-esteem kick. It has to do with not just finding out something about yourself, but finding something out about yourself because you found out something about who God is. So very, very important, who God is. Cheryl. All right, very... very good. That's good, huh? Present. That's a kind of nice all-embracing claim. It includes both verbal proclamation as well as the way... Dennis. Jesus. To accept Him. Look what it builds up to. To accept Him as this. And then how it describes Him. Jesus. Steve. Really important because the Bible's presentation of salvation is two dimensions. Vertical, our relationship with God. Horizontal, our relationship with each other. The Bible doesn't acknowledge solo artists in this kingdom. So the whole issue of incorporation into the church is really important. And that's where many of us have struggled, isn't it? But you know, we rob ourselves. You know, I'm like you. I've been looking for the perfect church too. It's like somebody says, you know, the minute you arrive in one, you mess it up. We were fine till you came. No, I'm only kidding. I mean me. Okay. All right. Byron, way at the back. That big bass voice, Byron. Yeah, this is not a take it or leave it affair. Yeah. Lenochka. Yeah, right. This is not an installment plan here. This is not a hire purchase agreement. It's a hire purchase, but not in the way that, you know, we normally mean it commercially. Al. I'd like to change the word shout to maybe. All right, did you all hear what Al said there? He'd like to change the word shall to may. He'd like to kind of basically take out the sense of imperative in there. Yes?
Because he's saying that people don't always come to Christ. Now, Al's on to something here, maybe. Karen. Right? Yeah, that's good. Good, I like this. We've got a question about it there, and we've got a, hey, yeah, but it's not a bad phrase. It's describing the process by which people come to a knowledge of Jesus. Good, anything else? Edwin? All right. Okay, right. Okay, now, if Edwin is right and he's building on what Al has said, where's the key area in that statement that we would need to change in order to satisfy Edwin and Al, if they're right? If they're right. Craig, way at the back. All right, now you see what we're getting into, guys? We're getting into good old divisive action, like, you know, move the comma. Forbid not to speak in tongues. This is, okay, now. Okay, now we're looking, see, punctuation gives sense. Okay, Rick. How many of you know that Rick is our man who writes the Constitution? Yay! Right. What can I say, friends? Right. The answer is right. What Rick is doing there is putting in some specificity in terms of the fruits of repentance. You know, repentance taken. But focus. Al and Edwin are right. There is one crushing flaw in this presentation. And the now Byron, he is the grammarian among us. Whenever we have a problem with grammar, Byron can help us. Now, Byron, we're depending on you. You're the grammarian. Where's the problem here? I've forgotten the difference between final clauses and consecutive clauses, but there is a consecutive clause problem here. Okay.
Well, it is a long sentence, but rather than what we're really trying to do is to create or promote circumstances wherein men may come to their senses. So to create or promote circumstances wherein men may come.
All right. Let's have one more shot. June, stand up, June. And oh, men and women. Persons, right. No generic accepted. Wow. I tell you, look, we could divide the church right now. We got 5 minutes. There's time for another heresy. Hey, okay, let's, Luke, June, last one, and then we'll close, yes. Amen, sister. Amen. That's it. She's absolutely right. That one word, so, sends the whole thing astray. That was what Al was onto, and the rest of you were pursuing like baying hounds. In other words, if it had begun, to evangelize is to present Christ Jesus to sinful men in order that, through the power of the Holy Spirit, they may come, then that presents a very different message. In other words, Al is right, turning the word shall to may and getting rid of that consecutive. Because the Bible does not present evangelism in terms of its results. It's a very, very simple point, but it's a point
that keeps coming back to haunt each one of us again and again and again. It haunts churches and gets them to get into programs they never needed to get into. We end up holding meetings, doing this, that, and the other, where we convince ourselves we're reaching the world. Look, you're not reaching anybody if they're not receiving anything. And one of the things that we need to comfort ourselves in terms of holy encouragement, is that the call is to present Jesus. We're not asked to do a little sales top-up at the end of the day, or even at that point, count heads. Do you remember the point the other Sunday when we spoke about the parable of the dragnet? Go gather, 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 gather. God is a much better at sorting out than you and I are. Let's leave God something to judge. How freeing this is for our personal witness. We're called to present Christ. And if I'm talking to someone this morning and you say, but Stuart, I've never had the joy of personally being with someone where I prayed with them and they committed their life to Christ, keep presenting Jesus. You are evangelizing according to the Bible. It's no time to stop. But by the same token, expect results. Now I'm going to put up another definition. This is better than a sermon, right? You doing all the work? Yeah. Okay, I'm going to put up another definition, which is a definition that came out of the Lausanne Conference on Evangelism. It's pretty good. Can you read that? That's what happens when you get members of every church in the world together. But Rick, I think you're going to like this one. It's a good one. All right. To evangelize is to spread the good news that Jesus Christ died for our sins and was raised from the dead according to the Scriptures, and that as the reigning Lord, He now offers the forgiveness of sins and the liberating gift of the Spirit to all who repent and believe. Our Christian presence in the world is indispensable to evangelism, and so is that kind of dialogue whose purpose is to listen sensitively in order to understand. But evangelism itself is the proclamation of the historical, biblical Christ as Savior and Lord, with a view to persuading people to come to Him personally and so be reconciled to God. In issuing the gospel invitation, we have no liberty to conceal the cost of discipleship. Jesus still calls all who would follow Him to deny themselves, take up their cross, and identify themselves with His new community. The results of evangelism include obedience to Christ, incorporation into His church, and responsible service in the world. And here obviously beginneth an extremely long essay. But the point is, for a basic working in a paragraph description, I think it's pretty effective. But it does deal with that root problem. We are called to present Jesus. God by His Spirit does the work. And at that point, we're not counting scalps. Are you all agree? Okay. Now, I just thought I'd throw that in between your home groups, that it's a simple point, but an important one, lest we talk about evangelism for 2 months and never take the time to actually to define it. I want to encourage you that while these home groups are going on, don't forget that although you have these wonderful worksheets prepared by John and Steve and Dennis and all the others, and by the way, you have your home worksheet, the sheet on contact evangelism, you're meant to turn up at your home group with this week, filled in. You may not have done that in preparation for the group. Just putting a plug in here, saints. Do your homework on John's Gospel, chapter 4. But you know, despite all these worksheets and every book written on evangelism, God bless Josh McDowell, God bless all of them, the fact of the matter is, if I can plug a completely different point, this is indispensable. There is no evangelism without it. The Holy Spirit loves to mature it in you, loves to develop your appetite for it, loves to develop your obedience, encourage your obedience to it, loves to get you into it, and loves to bring it out of your mouth, explained and presented in ways that people can understand. The Bible is fundamental to evangelism, and a lot of our understanding of evangelism has gone astray because we've done every program, every book, but there's been no maturity in personal life and devotion to Christ. So don't forget that. More powerfully than any course that we do in our home groups, it's this book that exhorts evangelism.
It's this book that examples it. It's this book that expresses it in ways that we can take and express it to others. Now, one of the things that you mentioned when we looked at that first description that you really liked was the fact that there was a focus on Jesus. And as we've just finished a time where you've been concentrating on knowing the good news and knowing the content, I want to just take 2 minutes in this kind of barracks pep talk time to remind you that the heart of the gospel is Jesus. And when you go on this month to work on ways to say it, it's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I don't think we're meant to end every discussion in an argument about the problem of good and evil or in the science of evolutionism. There are ways of getting people to think and talk about Jesus. Why do you believe in God? Now, you could answer that by saying, well, just look at the creation around us. Well, you're absolutely right. But sometimes it's more effective to say, well, I believe in God because of who Jesus is. Now, I'm not saying one's a better answer than the other. I'm saying sometimes one is a more appropriate answer than another. So in knowing the good news, let me summarize for you the teaching of the last month in your home groups. First of all, know gospel events. I get increasingly surprised at how illiterate many Christians are in the Gospels. Illiterate. Now, we know a parable here and a story there, but we're really hard-pressed in coming out immediately with what Jesus said about it. We can quote Paul, we can quote into varsity, we can even quote the pastor. But what did Jesus say about it? And I want to encourage you, arm yourself with gospel events, what Jesus did, how he did it. And there's a little book coming out that might help you, but I won't advertise it. The facts about Jesus Christ, especially his death and resurrection. Secondly, fundamental to knowing the gospel and knowing the good news is what we call the gospel witnesses. There's all sorts of things that witness to the truth of the gospel. You'll notice in the Acts of the Apostles an evidence of what I just said to you by way of exhorting you to use the word. They always quote in the Old Testament. They were always quoting witnesses to Jesus. They loved to do that. And of course, there were other witnesses, and the other witness was their own apostolic witness and the witness of their own personal experience of Jesus. That's why Paul loved to talk about they saw him, he appeared to two, he appeared to three, he appeared to 500, and drum roll, lead guitar, and he appeared also to what? As Miss Piggy would say it in Sesame Street, but appeared to me. So Paul's personal experience does not dominate the stage. It's interesting that you won't in fact find any significant appeal in the New Testament, in apostolic preaching, to believe in Christ based only on their personal experience. Some of you have probably run into trouble on that one in talking to people. Like you say, someone says, well, why do you believe in God? And you say, well, I have a personal experience with him. And someone says, in fact, John Chapman uses an example, a very good example of this in his book, Know and Tell the Gospel. And the person says, oh, that's really interesting, a personal experience of God. You're just like my neighbor. My neighbor's got a personal experience with God. Oh, really? That's wonderful. Yeah, she's a Buddhist. Well, hold on a minute. No, I don't quite. And that's why, important as personal experience and apprehension is, there are other witnesses that we need to know. And that's why it's fun to know the Bible explanation and to use it. And of course, that's an important place for the miraculous to come in. Other witnesses to the power of God and the truth of God. The third area that we need to make sure is part of our gospel are what we call gospel affirmations. Who Jesus is. It's very important to be specific about who Jesus is. You know, many of us in this church are the flower power generation. Is there anyone here this morning who's prepared to admit that they once had a flower in their hair? Anybody? Yeah. Jack, God bless you, brother. Well, thank God you still got hair. But some who wore flowers in their hair ain't got no more hair to stick the flower in. Hey, there's all kinds of interpretations of who Jesus is. The best meanings of interpretation of who Jesus is spawn more cults than anything else. Everybody's got their version of who Jesus is. And we need to be most particular about who Jesus said he was in terms of Lord. What someone's called that scandal of particularity. And who he is as Savior. A fourth area. Do you notice how Jesus-centered all this is? It's why Jesus came, what Jesus did, who Jesus is. We need to be convinced about the gospel promises. Oh, golly. Al and I were talking about this last week. Al's favorite stomping ground in Scripture is John 15. You know, he loves to teach and preach about abiding in the vine. It's amazing when it comes to gospel promises, we don't really believe what those promises are. What are the promises that we need to present in the gospel? Sin is forgiven, and the Holy Spirit really does come and indwell you. What kind of expectations are we giving people for their relationship with Jesus? So that needs to be a vital part of our communication, knowing the good news, knowing forgiveness of sin. Do you know it in your own life? You were cast away to your own teaching. Do you know the work of the Holy Spirit in your life? And finally, gospel demands. There are demands of the gospel. It's not a, you know, when we present the gospel, we do present demands. You'll find that right through the New Testament. Repentance, faith, and baptism are the three fundamental demands. Now, of course, we make all kinds of other demands, but I just want to tell you this morning, they're irrelevant to the gospel. Absolutely irrelevant. Nothing to do with joining a church, joining a denomination, getting your life in order according to my particular rules. That'll all be dealt with if you deal with repentance. And that's why we understand conversion, that big turning to God, is made up of three sub-turnings, if you like. Repentance is turning from sin. A lot of people get convicted about sin, who you'll speak to, and the Spirit will move in their heart, who will not go the next step and turn in faith towards God. It's not just turning from sin. Faith is turning towards God because He's the one we need to turn to. And what does baptism represent? Baptism represents turning to the body of Christ and saying, hey, me too. Because when we come to Christ, we're not alone. We're turning to the community of faith and all those who know Him and love Him who are going to accept us. As we are, as Christ accepted us. It's all about Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And you know something? That's why it's so important to do a Bible study on the way the apostles presented the gospel. It's Jesus, 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 Jesus. Do we agree, people? We long for people to know the Jesus that we know. And that's why I think it's really important. And all you've got out of the home groups, let the centrality of who Jesus is not only just come through in our message, but come through with a bit of a zing in our own personal life. Now, why do I say a bit of a zing? Am I talking about putting on some American advertising gimmick? No. I'm talking about the same thing that Paul talked about in that passage I read you at the beginning, where he says, let your conversation be full of grace, seasoned with salt. With a bit of tang to it. With a bit of winsomeness to it. With a bit of holy spice to it. With a bit of intrigue. With a bit of, yes, there's more here than you've tasted. Salt makes you really thirsty, doesn't it? And I want to encourage you, dear ones, that you and I, as we follow Jesus in our own personal lives, we can get the message clear. Not because we've learned the four spiritual laws off by heart. Paul himself asked prayer late in his ministry that he'd get it clear. All of us know what it's like to try and get it out. That's why we need the Holy Spirit to help us. And that's why He always does when we ask Him, yes? I had a wonderfully encouraging experience this week. Somebody that's on my kind of top league, you know, first division hit list, prayer list, for wanting to be as Jesus too. And I showed you last week, really targeting the guy who I always go to the post office, the guy, all these people who are just the basic fabric of your life that you meet day in, day out, day in, day out. And there's one particular guy. And I happened to bump into him on Monday, and right out of the blue, we've had this ongoing conversation, and he said to me, and it's great when people take the initiative, it's so relieving, you know? And he said to me, would you have enough time to have if I took you to lunch, that I could talk with you? This guy was on the edge of extreme darkness, actually about to believe that he was damned forever. That was the bottom line of it. That there was really no way back. And we ended up standing on Wisconsin Avenue, both of us, and it wasn't the Mexican lunch. Standing on Wisconsin Avenue with tears in our eyes, agreeing that it was Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. My heart was renewed. My life was blessed. I was able to hug him. Jesus is the answer to these lies of the enemy. And we've got to get him into our conversation. We've got to raise our expectations of what Jesus is going to do and is doing in our own life, that we're armed with the wherewithal to say, and this is what's been happening to me. What a great encouragement for maintaining personal devotion for the blessing and safety of others. And God will answer your prayer. I'm no different to you. I want to tell you, I think pastors have a harder time than most people. I find, as a pastor, I have to work over hard to get myself out and away from the Lord's dear people. Now, I love you all dearly. I love spending time with you. But I have to move in obedience. You know, there are people that I need to talk to that God will prepare for me and will prepare me for them. To give what? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Know this good news. Don't get entangled, dear ones, in endless models. But just Jesus, Jesus. And know those gospels like the back of your hand. Time's gone. Let me just say something quickly about getting it clear as a way of introduction to what you're going to be doing this week. In getting it clear, I want to draw your attention to two issues. What I want to call an issue of the heart and an issue of the head. We are called, in talking to people about Jesus, to respond to their state, to respond to how they are when we find them. That means there is no way we can ever minister Jesus to a statistic. There's no issue about evangelistic fire fodder here. We're called to respond to their state. The Bible says they're dead in sin, they're under the dominion of sin, and to be able to respond as Jesus would respond to somebody's admission of their own need. And what I'm saying there is, there should be in us true spiritual affection. That's a nice old Puritan phrase they used to use in this country in the 18th century. Spiritual affections for those who don't know Jesus. In fact, if we had a lot more affection and maybe shorter messages, there'd be a lot more impact. Spiritual affection, where our own heart is first moved. That we are not amongst those who've most forgotten what it was not to know Jesus. And secondly, there's what I call an issue of the head. We are called to respond intelligently to people's questions and words, including admitting that we don't know the answer. But we're jolly well going to commit ourselves to find it out with them. I read of two guys this week who made a pact to improve their ability to talk about Jesus and present Jesus' view of things. They called each other every day on the telephone for a year. They agreed to read the editorial column of their local newspaper and call each other at the end of the day to say how they would talk to somebody based on that editorial column about Jesus and present Jesus' view of things, the Christian view of it. It was a very good little exercise. But basically, they were setting themselves goals to think Christianly, to talk Christianly, to see how Jesus deals with real people's problems and real people's concerns. Respond to those who ask of the hope that is in us. I mean, what would we do to people who said, what must I do to be saved? Well, I'm very glad you asked that question. There's somebody I really think you should call. You know, that's our first response. I mean, you know, we prayed, oh, dear Lord, please use me. Please may somebody ask me. And then someone says, well, what must I do to become a Christian? Ah! Think about going back to the office this week. How many of you, is small talk in the office? What kind of weekend did you have? How many of you know that question is going to be asked at some point on Monday? How many of you? All righty. Well, how do you answer that question? What kind of weekend did you have? Well, there are ways, you know, what you could say is, oh, yes, interesting you should ask me that. Had a fantastic time in church on Sunday. Only if it's true, of course. I mean, lying in evangelism is really not going to be blessed. There are ways to talk Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Spiritual instructions. We need to be taught of the Lord. And we need to have the affections of the Lord Jesus. I can see some of you are hungry for lunch. Let me just put it this way. What we need is tact. And tact means touch. We need the Holy Spirit to work in us, to give us a sense of touch. Isn't that what comes out of the Gospels with Jesus? There's almost an effortless ease there. Now, I'm no different for you. I actually happen to be very shy in a lot of circumstances. I find it really difficult to now, Bunny's kind of, Bunny kind of went, oh, yeah, you know. Yeah. I really mean that. I find some circumstances really difficult, and I have to work really hard. I have to pray for a real sense of touch to relate and get involved in the circumstance. But there's a need in us. This is a summary of your month. There's a need in us for unshaken knowledge of who Jesus is and what the gospel is about, but an unshaken purpose, not only of what Jesus has done, but an unshaken purpose to share the gospel with others. And here's the encouragement. It shouldn't be our weaknesses that deter. It should be His winsomeness that draws us. The same winsomeness that drew us to Christ the first time should work through us to draw others. Don't you agree? I think winsomeness, if you'll excuse the pun, is the way to win some. I really do. Sometimes we're so uptight and we're so... God can hallow and bless exactly who you are and who He's made you to share who Jesus is. And one of my greatest joys, pastorally, is to hear your stories about how the Lord is using you. I remember a few Sundays ago, Jim coming up here and talking and telling me about the prayer meeting that he had with the Muslim friends that he's been making in the carpet business. Jim's always into some interesting business, but if you want to find out something about rugs, you need to see Jim Wheeler. But through him finding out about rugs, he's making all these new friends, and he was describing how they found a place to pray about what was going on in the Middle East, and it gave him an opportunity to talk about Jesus and to talk about forgiveness, to talk about redemption, which is completely foreign to a Muslim, but most needed. Really exciting. It's His winsomeness that draws. Okay, and so let me finally close with this. And I forgive that laugh. Dear ones, this month, as you prepare, as you talk, as you share your testimonies and all the rest of it in the home groups, please bear this in mind when it comes to saying it, how to say it. Let concerns for the one we're talking to be more important to us than just a whole lot of evangelical concepts. We are not here to convey a program, but a person. And we can communicate Jesus effectively without sounding like a bunch of mathematicians. Secondly, keep your emphasis on commendation, not condemnation. That's what I learned from the example of Jesus in the Bible. You've heard me preach on it before. He's always telling people not how far they are, but how close they are to the kingdom of God. Have you ever said that to anybody? I remember the first time I really said that to someone who thought they were in such a great punch out at the lights argument with me, and them saying something, and I remember saying to them, you know, that is fantastic. You are not far. You know, you are so close. And they, what? That was at the point they thought they were most aggressively further away. So you're really onto something there. You don't know how close you are. I tell you, that'll shut up somebody who's reluctant real fast and get you out of the argument real speedy, because they don't want to get any closer. We need to be encouraging people in their understanding of who the living God is. And thirdly, it's about conviction, not confusion. And I think we need to recover in our own communication a sense of our own delight in God's grace and mercy. Instead of thinking that all evangelism is about a few slogans arranged in the right way and we end up being more confused than the next guy. Trust Jesus in you. Be who you are in Christ. But it's not simply a point of, you know, trusting Jesus and smiling your way through the day. Which brings me back to Colossians chapter 4. What a great balance it is. It says, you do something. Make the most of every opportunity. It acknowledges that you are to be involved, all of us, in responsive evangelism. We are called to respond continually to what's happening in people's lives out there. I read last week of a woman who came to Christ because the people from the church visited her in the maternity ward, said, we heard you'd had a baby, we're from St. Philip's, we're in your neighborhood, can we help you? They said, let's see if this lasts. And when 6 months later, the team of women from the ladies' Bible study were still going to help her clean the house, her husband said, we really ought to go down and see what makes these people tick. And they both came to Christ. Responsive to people's needs. But that's not lackadaisical, laissez-faire, and making the most. There's the balance. Making the most of every opportunity. And Paul rounds off that little message in Colossians with words like always. In other words, not just on Mondays. when you're still working off the pressure of the Sunday message. Always, to everyone. Now, some of us don't even get involved because we don't even identify who needs to hear from us. But if we believe that God has placed us strategically to be the conduit to somebody, what fun that is. What a joy that is. And what fun in finding out. Welcome to the holy experiment of talking with salt in your mouth, full of grace, because it's Jesus that inspires. Not a fear of not being able to go to the house group and saying, by the way, I only spoke to 3 people this week, but just let Jesus loosen us. The prophet said, gave a challenge to the people of God at the altar of Baal, and he said, if he's God, let him be God. Not let him be God, but let him be the God that he is. And I want Jesus to be the Jesus that he happens to be quite naturally and spiritually in me. At some point, my mouth has got to open, and I do have to respond and make the most of every opportunity. So as you gather this week in the home groups, and if you don't go to home group, I encourage you to get in there. They've got some great assignments. John 3, John 4, they're the two strategic chapters in the Gospels that show Jesus side by side dealing with problems. Very similar way, but tremendous range in there. Everything's in those two chapters. Absolutely brilliant. And very demanding too, by the way. When you sit down, if we sat down and said, could you take me through John 3 and explain what Jesus means verse by verse? I mean, John 3:16 is great, but keep me out the rest of the chapter. Your nose is going to be rubbed in the rest of the chapter, and you're going to have a great time kicking buckets around the well with a Samaritan woman. And the Lord is going to give us all a way of how to say it. How to say Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Yes? Yes. Let's pray. Jesus. Dear Lord Jesus, we declare to you humbly and honestly, we love you. We can't imagine life without you. You have chosen to come and live within us. We confess our great need of you in our own personal lives. And yet, Lord, we confess to you something else this morning. You know that deep down is a tremendous longing in us to make you known. We want to be effective. We want to achieve in your name. Lord, we're a bundle of foibles and idiosyncrasies and eccentricities and needs and insecurities and lack of not. Lord, we present all of this to you this morning. And we ask that we will trust your strength and power in us to reveal yourself through our circumstances, through our lives, through our words. Let the wing of word and the wing of our life wing its way to somebody's heart this week, Lord Jesus. Let salt spread itself around and let grace season our communication. And may we be in love with you in order to share that affection and that instruction with others. I pray for every home group meeting this week. I pray as people gather and share their love and share their life that you will be present, Lord Jesus, making it a really good meal. In Jesus' name, part us with thy blessing and with thy peace, and especially bless Jack and Chris Stout and their family in Jesus' name. As you share the peace with one another, there'll be two ushers at the back with a plate. Would you please give what the Lord's encouraged you to give, that we want to give as part of our gift to Jack and to Chris to bless them? And it maybe will answer their prayer that their first month's fees at YWAM the Lord really did provide for. God bless you.